38, the first verse is our text. The text says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. I'd like you to ponder those words. This was not the message I had prepared for this service this morning, but in the light of the news that we heard yesterday evening, we were drawn to this passage and drawn to these words and felt it was a word for the hour, a word just for these times in which we find ourselves today. Think of the words again. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. The message, the title, the theme of this study this morning is get right with God. That's the message that comes to our hearts today through this portion of Scripture. I want you to think with me for a moment or two about death. The fact is, we've been reminded of it, men and women. The fact is, we're all going to die. There's none of us. Doesn't matter how long you live. The fact is, there's none of us going to be here forever. And the fact is that even the Christian dies. We will not die eternally, those that know Christ. As John said in the book of the Revelation, we will not be hurt of the second death. We're not going to die eternally. But it is certain that we will all die physically. It is a paradox, I know, but it's true nonetheless. We are living, and yet at the same time, we are dying. We're all hastening towards the grave. So I want to stress that to you. We're all going to die. There's only one exception to that, and that is if you're one of those that is alive when the Savior comes again. Our position today is we're either waiting for Jesus coming or Jesus calling. The Savior called the Lord's servant, the Reverend Elliot, home to be with himself last evening. The fact is, men and women, the Lord Jesus will not come for a little while yet. There are certain things that must take place first. So I want you to think with me this morning about death and about dying and even about your own death. We need to think about that, men and women. You might say this morning that's very morbid, and I know that that's how some people would view it. But let me stress to you, thinking about death is also something that's very necessary, very profitable, it's very important, and it's something that's very scriptural. It's taught clearly in the Word of God. If I give you just one verse as a scriptural proof of that, the words of Moses, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. What does Moses tell us is a very wise thing for all of us to do? To consider death, to consider our latter end. And I encourage you, brethren and sisters, to do that today. Matthew Henry, the Bible commentator, said, when you just do something once, you'd want to do it well. Isn't that true? So you would want to die well. That should be our desire. Not just to live well, but to die well, to have a good testimony. For our death to be such that it speaks to others, to die to the glory of God. Sadly, that is not the case with some of the Lord's servants. So if you're going to die well, then you need to think about it, you need to plan for it, and you need to prepare for it. And especially this morning, men and women, I want you to think with me about sudden death. The book of Numbers says, if any man die very suddenly, not a solemn thought, sense in which our brother Mr. Elliot died very suddenly, stunned us. We didn't expect it. So I want you to think especially this morning of sudden death. There are times that people's death is unexpected. People die suddenly. There's absolutely no warning. And we have been reminded of that solemnly today. We have had that experience even as a congregation during last year. We have known and experienced a sudden death. And I want to emphasize this, men and women, the same thing could happen to you. You could die unexpectedly. You could die without any warning. Can I stress that? Death can be sudden. Just think of this. You sit here today in the Lord's house, but who knows? Who knows if you'll ever sit here again? Who knows if you'll ever be present at another service in this place? Doesn't James tell us, you know not what shall be on the morrow? Don't know what tomorrow brings, what news it will hold, what circumstances will arise. Oh, we think we do. We hope we know what will be on the morrow. But the fact is, we don't, men and women. Don't know what tomorrow will hold for any one of us. That's the solemn reality. The Savior said to the rich farmer, this night, not tomorrow night, this night, thy soul shall be required of you. Your life is almost over. He said to the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And remember, the Lord could say that to any one of us. The Lord could say, today, you're going to die. This day, this night, you're going to be ushered out into eternity. This night, you're going to be in heaven or in hell, as the case may be. And the question, men and women, is, if your death was to come sudden, unexpected today, are you ready? Is your life in order? You think of the charge that Isaiah gives here. Remember, he's speaking to the king. Set thine house in order. What a word that is, men and women. He's saying, remember the title we took? He's saying to the king, get right with God. And brethren and sisters, that's what we all need to do. Set our houses in order. You need to sort out your life. You need to put all the affairs in your life right. And remember, especially, primarily, the priority should be given to the spiritual affairs. Those are the things that need to be put in order. The matters relating to your soul, to your spirituality, the matters relating to your walk with God. Set thine house in order. Set your life in order. Need to do that, brethren and sisters. So that if you were to die suddenly, taken away without any warning, that all would be well. All would be well in your life. One of the greatest burdens that families carry is when a loved one dies unexpectedly and they don't know where they are. They don't know how it is. There's nothing, men and women, that brings greater grief to any home, to any person, especially those that have any concern about the things of God. So you need to set your house in order so that if you were to die unexpectedly, all would be well. I want to point out to you some areas of the Christian life that you need to think about, need to set in order, need to put right. Can I mention to you, first of all, the matter of salvation? The reality, men and women, is before you die, you need to be saved. Can you say that today? Can I put that question clearly, pointedly, to everyone gathered here in the service? Do you remember the question John Harper asked as he swam about in the waters of the Atlantic that night that the Titanic sank? He asked all around them, is your soul saved? Your soul, is it saved? Is it well today with your soul? Is your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior? And can I take that even a step further, men and women? Have you the assurance of salvation? Not enough to think you're saved, not enough to hope you're saved. This is something that's vital. Think of how very serious it is. There's one thing in this world you need to be sure about, have every doubt removed, not a question in your mind. It's the matter that you know that when you die, you'll go to heaven to be with Christ for all eternity. One cause of the lack of assurance is that issue, that question of the amount of faith. People have great struggles. Had I enough faith when I came to Christ for salvation? Can I make it clear, men and women, the Bible nowhere states, nowhere, that you had to have a certain amount of faith before you could experience God's salvation. Remember this, always remember it. It's not the amount of faith that saves the soul, it's the existence of faith, however weak, however small it may be. It's the existence of faith in your heart that saves your soul from a lost eternity. So you need to be sure. And you can have that assurance today. It's not wrong, not sinful. John said these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. You can know today that you're saved. And you can know it this very day, in this very meeting. And let me impress it, men and women, let me impress it today upon every heart in this meeting. You need to have the assurance of God's salvation. You need to have it before everything and anything else in this world, lest you die suddenly, lest in a moment you're taken from this scene of time. The matter of salvation. What about service, men and women? Set thine house in order. Need to set your service in order. Can I ask you the question today? Every believer here, are you involved in the service of Christ? Mr. Spurgeon believed in what he called an active membership. Every Christian should be a member of the local church, clearly taught in the scriptures. And every member should be active. There's no such thing as unemployment in the Church of Christ. So are you involved in the service of the Master? My brother, my sister, are you occupying? Are you redeeming your time? Have you done all that the Lord wants and the Lord requires of you? Remember the lady in the scriptures? She had done what she could. Can the Lord say that of you today? Will he be able to say that of you on the day of judgment? You think of this. If your life ended without warning, would you be able to stand before the Lord and say, I finished the work that thou gavest me to do? Maybe with some here, you haven't even started that work. Remember we mentioned on Thursday night, those that can be described as lily Christians, they toil not. Too many such Christians in the Church of Christ today. Some of you will be familiar with the name of Fred Orr. Labored in Brazil as a missionary. Co-worker of Victor Maxwell and Dr. Woods and so on. In one of those strange and dark providences of the Lord, Fred Orr's first wife, Ina, died just a month after they went to the mission field. They were just making their way up the Amazon River to the place where they were going to settle and begin their labors, and she took ill. Hadn't even reached their destination on the mission field. She took ill, and they pulled in at the first town they came to look for a little bit of medical help. But the Lord saw fit to take Ina home. You can think of how Fred must have felt. In the providence of God, the news of her death got home before a letter that she had written to her mother, a letter that she had penned as they were making their way up the Amazon. She had posted it. You know how the postal service would have been, how long it would have taken it getting home. You can imagine her mother must have felt as she opened that letter, knowing that her daughter was in the glory. Do you know the text that Ina Orr wrote at the bottom of that letter before she took ill? Those words I just quoted to you. Finish the work that thou hast given me to do. Can I ask you, men and women, at the end of your life, at the end of your days, whenever that will be, however long or short you've still left, would you be able to say that? Would you? Can I emphasize, men and women, that's the only thing that matters. I pray you'll see that today as never before. There isn't anything else that matters when your days are over and you stand before the Lord. It'll not matter then how much land you got, how much money you made, how far up the corporate ladder you were ever able to clamber. The only thing that will matter on that day, men and women, is you did His will. You lived your life for Him. And you finished the work. Whatever work that might have been, that He gave you, that He wanted you to give your life to, that you can say, Lord, I finished the work that you gave me to do. The sad thing is, some Christians, they're just at ease in Zion. Maybe you're one of them. Remember Jacob's sons? He said to his sons, there were the famine in the land, they were getting hungry. Jacob said to those boys, why sit ye here looking one upon another? Just sitting around. And that describes many churches, many Christians in them. That they're not active, they're not up and doing. Just sitting looking one upon another. The Savior spoke about the fig tree cumbering the ground, not bearing any fruit. And there are many Christians just like that too, brethren and sisters. Some that are always too busy. Why can you not be at the meetings? Too busy. Attending too much to the things of this world than to be involved in the Lord's work and to attend to the things of that next world. Is that true of you? Going to be too busy this week to get out to the prayer meetings? Do you remember the hymn that Noel Grant wrote so soon? We're talking here about sudden death, unexpected death, the words that came to Hezekiah. So soon, eternal morn shall dawn. How fast the night is hastening on. We'll soon be there, men and women. So soon his lovely face to see. But how sad it will be, how sad the empty-handed be. Nothing to show for your days upon this earth, nothing to present before the Lord. Are you like that, my friend, my brother, my sister? The reality, men and women, the reality is your life is of no value. Absolutely no value. If you're not giving it to the Lord, using it for Him, serving the Lord with your days and with all that you have. So I say to you, set your service in order, lest you die unexpectedly. Many Christians, just like many on, say, oh, I intend to do something for the Lord, but just not now. When I'm a wee bit older. Will you live to be older? You sure of that? Set your service in order. Choose ye this day the words of old Joshua. Don't put it off any longer. Getting into the work. You've put it off long enough. Far too long already. What about your sin? With thought of salvation, thought of service. What about your sin? Can I ask you the question, brethren and sisters, today? Here's something only you can answer. Answer it honestly. In the light of eternity, in the light of the judgment. Is there sin in your life today? Sin that you know about and you're playing around with it? Sin that's serious? Sin that's secret? Well, you think it's secret. Try to cover it over, hide it from others. Maybe several sins, more than one. Isn't that what happened to David? When he sinned with Bathsheba, one thing led to another. A whole catalogue of evil. Do you know the sad thing in the Christian church is that often we have a a very light view of sin. We try to paint it over, try to gloss it over. Can I remind you, men and women, that it was sin that took the Saviour to the cross? Does that make sin very serious, to think of it in those terms, that light? Sin breaks your fellowship with God. You can try to fool yourself if you like, but the Bible says that if we walk in darkness, we're not in fellowship with Him. So if there's sin in your life today that you haven't dealt with, haven't repented of, asked Him to cleanse it, you're not in fellowship with God today. However you might want to portray it to everybody that's sitting around you today. So think of that, men and women. Sin's not a trivial thing. And I want you to consider, if you were to die now, die today, would you die with sin in your life? Is that the way you'd go out to meet the Lord? Die out of fellowship with Him? What a prospect that would be. What a prospect. Would you die in a backslidden state? I think one of the greatest tragedies that any could befall any Christian is to die out of fellowship with the Lord in a backslidden state of heart. And think of this, men and women, to take it even a step further. Would you want to die suddenly because of your sin? Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Fearful passage, Acts chapter 5, both of them in the same day, husband and wife, fell down dead within a few hours of each other. That was the judgment of God, be in no doubt of that. The hand of God, His judgment upon them for the sin in their hearts, the sin in their lives. If ever there's a passage in the Bible that teaches us that sin's not something to fool around with, men and women, to play around with, that's the passage. There is such a thing, as John teaches in his first epistle, as the sin unto death. There can be sin in your life that can lead to death. Paul writing to the Corinthians, if any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. The defiling of the temple is sin in our lives, defiling this body in a way that grieves Him. It's not a solemn statement. Him will God destroy. God will step in and take you away. Sin can result in death. There's an old illustration of that. Children playing out in the street. Sons misbehaving out there. The father looks out and sees the misbehaving of his son. He realizes some of the neighbors are looking out, the bad reflection that will be upon him and the family. So he goes out to the door and he calls the boy over and he warns him, rebukes him, tells him to behave better, to remember that all the neighbors are watching. I want you to behave in a way that will do justice to this family and its reputation in this community. And the young fellow goes out to play again, and 10 minutes later, father goes past the window and sees the young fellow just carrying on exactly the same way that he did before. No change. So what does the father do? He goes to the door and he calls the young fellow over and he brings him in. Makes good on the warning that he gave him. Brings him in. You're not staying out there to disgrace the family name any longer. And sometimes, men and women, that's what the Lord does. Sometimes that's what He does with His children. Warns us. Speaks to us through events, through His word, through circumstances, through illness and so on. And if we don't set our house in order, we don't amend our ways, He'll call us in as well. He can step in and bring us home, take us from this scene of time. So the warning is, sort out the sin in your life, lest you die unexpectedly. What about strife, men and women? Does not need to be sorted out too. Set thine house in order. That comes under this subject too. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, spoke about envy, strife, divisions. Paul, writing to the Philippians, said, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory. Whenever there's strife, men and women, what that means is there's a battle. There's a war that is going on. And remember, Christians can be at war. Can be at war with each other. Not just countries that go to war. Christians go to war too. James said, whence come these wars and fightings among you? It's not an interesting use of the word war. War in the church. Wars and fightings. Not out there. He says, among you. Mr. Paisley used to talk about the war department of the church. In the book of Exodus, we're told about Moses and Joshua coming down and there was the noise of war in the camp. Is there war in your home, your family, your church family? If there is it not time it was sorted out? Not time it was settled and settled once and for all? You think of it, men, would you want to die? Would you really? Really want to die still falling out with some family member, some brother, some friend? Would you want to go out into eternity and leave behind some relationship that wasn't right with God? Those words in Ephesians, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You often hear them rightly quoted at a wedding. Do you know one of the reasons why you should never go to bed without sorting out things that are wrong? You may not live to see tomorrow. You mightn't get another day. You mightn't get another opportunity to put it right. So set your house in order. Sort out the strife in your life, lest you die unexpectedly. And there's one other that I'll do quickly. That's the souls, men and women. Proverbs says, he that winneth souls is wise. Can I ask every Christian here today, does that really matter to you? Are you concerned about winning souls? Are you involved in winning souls? Are you a soul winner? Are you using your life wisely to bring others to Christ? General Booth, the great founder of the Salvation Army, was invited to the palace. I think it was King George V was on the throne at that time. Before he left, the king brought out his autograph book and he invited William Booth to sign a page in his book. Before he signed his name, William Booth wrote these words, a little verse. Some men's ambition is art, some men's ambition is fame, some men's ambition is gold. My ambition is the souls of men. Not a good ambition, men and women. But in fact, that's one of the best. Is it yours? Maybe your ambition is art, fame, gold. Those are the wood, hay and straw. The wood, hay and stubble. The things that will be burned up on the day of judgment. To give your life, men and women, to the winning of souls. It's interesting, when Peter was writing about Noah's Ark, he said there were eight souls, not eight persons or eight people, eight souls. See how the Bible puts the emphasis on the souls? Noah won the souls of his family. What an achievement that was. What a challenge that is, men and women. Are you seeking to do the same? Burdened about the souls of your family? Paul said to the Corinthians, some have not the knowledge of God. Some of your relatives, as we sit here today, and mine too, some of our closest friends, some of your work colleagues, they don't know the Lord. And he says, I speak this to your shame. It's a shame on you. You've never taken the opportunity, so many that I gave. Would you want to die, my friend, if the Lord took you away quickly? Would you want to die knowing you'd never spoken to them? Never. In all the years you've known them and worked with them or lived beside them. Would you want to die with their blood on your hands? His blood will I require. will I require? A day coming you'll have to answer for it, have to account for it. Sudden death, men and women. Set thine house in order. Thou shalt die, not live. The Lord could take us away in a moment. And these things all need to be right. Spiritual affairs need to be put in place. R.A. Torrey, read his life story, get that book. He laboured with Charles Alexander, The Romance of Soul Winning. Look at the pictures. In many of their meetings, they put a great banner behind the pulpit. Mr. Douglas, for many years, had the same banner outside the Lisburn Church when they met on the Ballymacash Road. It had those words on it. Get right with God. That's a message to saint and sinner. That men and women, and there's all the talk about what's happening politically in the province and politically across the water and politically in Europe. But I want you to know today, that's the message that this land needs. Above all else, what does Ulster need? What will put it back on the right path, the right course? Get right with God. Get right with God. I leave with you, in the light of these events of the last 24 hours, the burden of my heart. Set thine house in order. There's a day coming, maybe sooner than we realize, and thou shalt die. Your life will be over, your days will be gone, the opportunity taken from you. Thou shalt die and not live. We'll sing a verse of that hymn as we finish. 526, I have only one life on this earth, and as vapor it's passed.